现情况。
The image of the good shepherd, Jesus standing with his shepherd's crook in hand and lamb draped over his shoulders, is one of the most familiar and endearing in the entire repertoire of religious art. Also, I hazard a guess that after the Lord's Prayer, the scripture passage that most Christians know best and love best is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. Even though I walk in the valley of darkness, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they give me comfort. While that psalm expresses Israel's love for its chief shepherd, God, it also provides a thorough description of how every shepherd of Israel should act. The shepherd's first task was to provide for the sheep's nourishment and refreshment. And so the psalm recounts how the shepherd makes the sheep lie down in green pastures, a peaceful place with plenty of nutritious green grass. Then, when the flock is fully satisfied, the shepherd's second task was to lead the sheep, often through territory which was dangerous and inhospitable. That visual detail of the shepherd leading the sheep describes a difference in sheep herding practices between the Middle East and our part of the world. Here in the West, the shepherd generally follows behind the sheep, driving them forward. In the Middle East, however, because the terrain is so fraught with danger, the shepherd goes ahead of the sheep, scouting out the safest path for them to follow. And as he guides his flock, he fulfills his third task, which is to protect the sheep. Whenever the sheep are menaced, the shepherd uses his crook, which was more like a club, to ward off animals or rustlers. He also used it to poke into crevices where harmful scorpions or snakes might be hiding. As Israel's shepherd, the flock that God feeds and refreshes, leads and protects, is not sheep, it's his own chosen people. Although God was Israel's chief shepherd, he was not Israel's only shepherd. When God chose Israel's kings, he commissioned them also to be shepherds for the people, especially for the most vulnerable classes of people, widows, orphans, migrants in the land. Like the good shepherd, the king too was supposed to feed and refresh, lead and protect the people. More often than not, however, those self-indulgent leaders fell glaringly short of their mandate. And so throughout the Old Testament, God sent prophet after prophet to reprimand them. But it was through the prophet Ezekiel that God delivered his most blistering critique. He says, "You shepherds of Israel have gorged yourselves instead of feeding the sheep. You devour their meat and clothe yourself with their wool, but for them you do not care. You have not strengthened the weak, nor healed the sick, nor bound up the injured, nor brought back the wandering, nor sought out the lost. Instead, with cruelty, you have ruled over them." How disheartening it must have been for God to watch as the leaders he had selected, one after another, disregarded their mission. How heartbroken God must have felt to see his chosen people, century after century, suffer injustice, cruelty, and neglect. And so at the opportune time, he sent his only precious son to show us once again how a good shepherd truly cares for God's people. It was Jesus who took pity on the crowds, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. It was Jesus who left the 99 good sheep and went searching for the one who had gone astray. It was Jesus who, at the end of his life, laid down his life for his sheep. And after the resurrection, it was Jesus who pressed Peter, not once, but three times. Do you love me, Peter? Then feed my lambs. Do you love me, Peter? Tend my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. And so it seems that even after his ascent into heaven, Jesus continues to keep vigilant watch over us, the sheep of his flock. It's important for us not to overlook the lesson of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. You see, at baptism, you and I also received our commission as shepherds. After the priest baptized us with water, he anointed us with chrism, declaring, "As Jesus was anointed priest, prophet, and shepherd, so now I anoint you as priest, prophet, and shepherd." Imagine that. You are called to be a shepherd. I am called to be a shepherd. To be a good shepherd, as Jesus was, means to love as Jesus loved. Not just those we like and those who like us, but to love even those we find repugnant. Those who live and think and even sin differently than we do. To be a good shepherd, as Jesus was, means to care for the sheep who limp, the hungry, the homeless, the lonely, the depressed. But more than anything else, to be a good shepherd, as Jesus was, means to seek out the sheep who have wandered away. Those who feel unwelcome to worship in our church, or if they are here, they feel unworthy to participate fully in our Eucharist because something in their life disqualifies them, or so they think. If you and I truly want to follow the Good Shepherd faithfully, we need to remind these sisters and brothers of ours that their being here at this Eucharistic table gives greater joy to God than all the rest of us, 99, put together. If we struggle to follow the Good Shepherd like that, then surely when our life comes to an end, we will recognize God's voice calling us home to the kingdom, where God will make us to lie down in green pastures and give us repose.